up, the mighty man of God. Barry's been here before, evangelist Barry's been here before, and I can guarantee every time that he comes here, he always deposits something. You know what? If you don't know Jesus, I guarantee you, the time you leave here, you will. He's a man of God, he's anointed, he's appointed, he's called, and he's a Salford lad. Amen. Is there any Salford guys in the house? Thank God for the 40s, amen. Amen. I know we're believing the Lord for Salford, amen. But I want us to give a warm welcome and put our hands together for the evangelist Barry Woodward, amen. And just also make quick mention that at the back of the, next to the giving point, Barry's brought some merchandise with him. A book, Once an Addict. And if you've never ever read this book, I encourage you to read this book. You'll read the transforming power of what God can do in a man's life. Amen. And also, Barry's brought some CDs that will be available at the back. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm ready and excited for what God's going to bring tonight. So, amen. Let's give him one more welcome. Amen.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking pretty good this morning. Now try and convince them that you really mean that. Do you know, throughout each year, I get to speak at around 150 events a year, and I must say, coming here feels really special. Really does. It's becoming a bit like a home church away from home church for me, because for a number of reasons. For one, you're kind of on the fringe of Salford. I know, you know, you can't, but yet you're Manchester, and I was born in Salford and I lived in Manchester. Well, we're all part of Greater Manchester, but you know what I mean. But also the kind of work that you're doing, the people that you're reaching. I know this church has got all kinds of people in it, but the heart of Victory Outreach International is to reach people like me. So when I hear all the stuff that's going on at Victory Outreach Manchester and the church planting and the kind of people that you're reaching, this really feels like my home church away from home church. So it's good to be back. And I appreciate the relationship that... the relationship that I've been building with your pastor Paul and Vicky over the last 3 or 4 years. So it's great to be here in my own town. If you'd have been at my party that night, you'd have heard that smash and then that loud shout. 15's broken a window. Vivian was in my class at school. She lived just around the corner in the Black Horse pub on Chapel Street. It was a Saturday night. I'd invited all my mates round. My mum and dad had gone out with my auntie Edie. She wasn't my real auntie, but she worked in the chippy around the corner with my mum, so we called her auntie. Have you got aunties like that? Yeah. I'd invited all my mates round. Imagine her a fly on the wall. The music was playing. The girls were dancing around their handbags. Did you ever do that, ladies? Some of you were out last night, wasn't you? The lads were smoking Park Drive. Who remembers them? 5 Park Drive, trying to look hard. The party was in full swing, and then the incident occurred. There was a massive smash. What's that? I ran through the kitchen door into the wooden outhouse that was attached to the back of the kitchen. This was a cheap Salford way of doing an extension. And 15 had fallen over and put her hand through a big window. The glass was broken into pieces. It was shattered everywhere. There was a piece outside, in the dog's bed, in the food down the side of the settee. It was all over the place. Oh no, what am I going to do? My dad doesn't even know I'm having a party. He'll kill me. The girls started to scream. Everybody started to panic. The music stopped, and then I heard the siren in the street. It was the police. The party came to an end because 15 broke a window. Have incidents occurred in your life that have smashed you into pieces, just like that broken window? And over time, you feel like you've left a broken piece in one place, a broken piece in another place, a broken piece in this place, and a broken piece in that place. Do you know that you can pick up those broken pieces? The Message version of the Bible says this, that God can restore everything that you have lost. And he can come and pick up the broken pieces from the places where they were scattered. You can pick up your broken pieces. Today we're going to go on a journey to visit some of those places so that you can pick up your broken pieces. Here are four of the many broken pieces that you can pick up. Number one, you can pick up your broken piece of fight. Many of you will know that sometimes in life, things can happen that can break your will to fight. Sometimes this can happen to a whole community. Take Moss Side way back in the day. Let's go there. Unemployment was high, housing quality was low, injustice was the norm, and racial equality was a no-no. This was the place where their fight was broken. I saw it on the news, riots in Moss Side. There'd already been riots in Toxteth, in Liverpool, and Brixton, in London. Now, they were happening on our doorstep in Moss Side. These weren't race riots. This was the community against the feds. The phone rang. It was Craig. Hiya, Barry. Have you seen the news? Yeah, I've seen the news. Shall we go? Yeah, let's go. Craig rang Psycho. And Psycho rang Huey. But he got the wrong number. Psycho wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. And we all went to stand with the community. You should have seen it. Cars were overturned. Shots were on fire. People laid siege against the police station. The atmosphere was electric. You should have seen the feds. They were lined up along a big grass verge. We were all on the road. Hundreds of others have come from all over the Northwest to stand with the Moss Side community. You just should have seen the feds. They had their helmets on. They were carrying their riot shields and riot sticks. And as they came towards us, they tapped their shields, tap, 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 to taunt us. Tap, 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 tap. The battle was on. They fought us and we fought back. At last, with others standing with them, the people of Moss Side got their fight back. I'm not condoning rioting. Not anymore. But this is like how it works with God. See, with God standing with you, you can get your back, fight back. You can pick up your broken piece of fight. See, God can come and pick up that broken piece of fight from the place where it was scattered in your life. He did this for Adele. Adele was the last one to register for our first Fix conference in March 2013. Fix is a conference for ex-addicts, recovering addicts, addicts, and those with art for addicts. You've never seen so many people in church with tattoos. And that was just the leaders. Put your hand up if you've been to Fixed. Adele's upbringing was really tough. Because her mom is an addict, and so was her dad. Adele has been in foster care. She's been in children's homes. She's been in 13 different schools. And when she was 19 years of age, she found her dad dead on the floor after he'd taken some drugs. Can you imagine what her life was like? Her fight was broken. The words of Taylor Swift sum up Adele's situation. It's hard to fight when the fight isn't fair. I was first introduced to Adele by Joe. We closed registration for that first Fix conference 3 times and we kept squeezing more people in. And then I got a Facebook message from Joe asking if Adele could come. And she came. And in the evening, she opened the door of her life and she gave God access. She became a Christian. And from that point on, her life has totally changed. She's since done a college course. She's having driving lessons. She started to work for us as an administrator. We've even had her out speaking at some of our events. In fact, right now, she's in Aberdeen, ready to speak at the biggest AOG church in Scotland tonight. And recently, she's married her pastor's son. I was chatting with Adele and she said to me, for years, I was knocked down by the circumstances in my life. Because of this, my fight was broken. But since becoming a Christian, God has given me my fight back. Adele's fight was broken, but now she's got it back. See, she's picked up a broken piece of fight because God came and picked up that broken piece of fight from the place where it was scattered in her life. What about you? Where's the place where your fight was broken? Was it broken through a tough upbringing? Was it broken through an unfair situation that you had to face? Was it broken when one of life's circumstances knocked you down? Listen, wherever that place was where your fight was broken, God can help you pick it up again, just like he did with Adele. You can pick up your broken piece of fight. See, God can come and stand with you so that you can get your fight back. The Bible says that God will fight the battle for you. Listen. With God standing with you, you can fight the feds in your life. Your frets, your emptiness, your doubts and your struggles. You can fight the feds. You can get your fight back. I'm talking about broken pieces this morning. Number one, you can pick up your broken piece of fight. Number two, you can pick up your broken piece of innocence. My innocence was broken in that place of addiction like some of you. You can imagine that when you're living a life that revolves around crime, prison, drug taking and sleeping around, your innocence gets smashed. I didn't really know the meaning of the word, but then God came and restored it. He came and picked up that broken piece of innocence from the place where it had been scattered in my life. I went to Bible college for 2 years and I graduated in 1999 and I set up Proclaim Trust to act as an administration framework for the work that I believed that God had called me to do as a speaker. And our first offices were in Chapness Hall. It wasn't really an office, actually. It was an old broom cupboard that the owner let me have, and we spent a few hundred pounds, and that became our first office. When I was in Chapness Hall, that's where I first met Tina. Tina was working for a skills organisation at the time. She was leading that organisation, or leading the skills arm of it, and I remember meeting Tina, and let me describe Tina to you in a few words. She's strong, spiritual, and from the South. But I'm not going to hold that against her. It was Christmas 2002. Tina told me that she wasn't going to the South for Christmas. She was staying in the North. I says, oh, are you, Tina? Do you fancy going out for a meal at Christmas then? She says, oh, yeah, I'd love that. She was really keen, ladies, you know what I mean? Oh, I'd love to go out for a meal with you at Christmas. I'd had lots of friendships with girls at college and before that as a Christian, and I was okay with them just being friendships. I wasn't really looking for anything more. But she was really keen. So I took her to Frankie and Benny's. In the daytime. We chatted about work. We chatted about faith. That was at Christmas. After Christmas, we're back in the offices. So I popped into her office. I said, hiya, Tina, you're doing all right? She said, yeah, I'm doing all right. I said, Tina, I really enjoyed going out for a meal with you at Christmas. Do you want to go out for another meal? She said, oh, yes. I'd really, really, really like to go out for another meal with you, Barry. So I took her for a Chinese at tea time. We chatted about faith. We chatted about work, and I went off to Argentina speaking for 3 weeks, and Tina went off to Texas. She was establishing a new arm of the PACE project in Texas. And she got back and I got back and I'd heard she was back. So I thought, I'm going to pop in to see Tina. So I popped into Tina's office. I says, hiya, Tina. She says, hiya, Barry. I said, how did your trip go, Tina? She went, oh, Barry, my trip went really well. How did your trip go, Barry? I said, my trip went really well. I said, Tina, do you fancy going out for another meal so we can have a proper catch-up? Oh, I'd love to go out for a proper meal with you, Barry. So I thought, right, I'm really going to push the boat out. I'm going to take her for an Indian at night. Imagine you're in the restaurant. We finished our first course. And then after the first course, Tina gets up and she walks to the back to the bathroom. Have you heard how posh I am now? Used to be the bog years ago. And as she walked to the bathroom, these are the honest thoughts that went through my mind. Cool, look at those curves. Look at that shape. Hasn't she got a nice bum? By the way, I'm a man. And I've been designed to be attracted to members of the opposite sex. It's the way that God's designed me. It's okay. But it's what I do with these. And I hadn't really thought like that about a woman for a long, long time. And in my head, then I started to go, God, forgive me for thinking like this. Take these thoughts captive and bring them into line with Jesus' thoughts. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, and then she came out of the bathroom. And the perfume, as she got to the table, the perfume, like, underneath my nostrils, I thought, oh, that smells dead sexy, that. Oh, that's proper feminine, that. I remember dropping her off and going, I was living on a farm at the time. This guy, this businessman, let me live for free in this little annex, like a little flat at the side of his farm. I remember going into my little flat and closing the door. And I'm like, oh God, forgive me for thinking like this. Take these thoughts captive. And it was like God slapped me on the back of the neck and he went, shut it. But God, I shouldn't be, shut it. But shut it. I had this overwhelming sense that this was part of God's plan for my life. But God, this isn't part of my plan. I'm too... Shut it. Oh, I couldn't stop thinking about her. I was in the office, I just kept thinking about her all the time. I thought, right, if this is of God, I better send her an email. So I'm sat in my little annex one night. I put the laptop on my knee, and just before my fingers danced across the keyboard, this thought came into my mind. What if she doesn't fancy me like that? And then another thought overshadowed that one. How can she resist? It took me an hour and a half to write this email. An hour and a half. Dear Tina, comma, because I'm educated now, I've been to Bible college. Do you think that God is in this relationship? Question mark. Space, love, comma, space, Barry. Smile. An hour and a half. See, I didn't want to get it wrong, because we were mates, and I didn't want her to get the wrong impression, and so... Took me about another 30 minutes to send it. I thought, should I send it? Oh, no. Just try writing it different. No. I just send. 5 minutes later, message in my inbox from Tina. I opened it. This was her reply. Dear Barry, comma, because she's always been educated. Space, I like to think that God is in all our relationships. took me 30 seconds to respond. Reply. Tina, no comma. I know that God is in all our relationships, but do you think there might be something more to this one? No love. Barry, no spell check. Send. 5 minutes later, message in my inbox from Tina, opened it. Maybe. I thought, right, I'm going to ask her out on a proper date. And she said, yeah. And it felt bizarre. Here I was, a grown man who'd had lots of relationships, going out on a first date. I remember that night. Oh, I had my music on in my pad. I had my clothes laid out on my bed, all my best gear. I had my shower, I had my shave, having a bit of a jig. Got me Paco Rabanne on. Gets in my car, winds the windows down, music playing. Pull into Tina's street, and she lived in a block of flats at the time. I text her, and she came down. I remember when she walked through the doors. It was like it was in slow motion. She came through the doors, and she looked beautiful. And as she got closer, I could see that she'd really made an effort. Do you know, girls, when you really make an effort? Makeup, hair done, lipstick on. She got in the car and that smell, that I thought, oh, that smells dead feminine, that. That had been 10 years, by the way. 10 years single is a long time. And that was the start of our relationship. Amazing. Going out on that first date was like being 16 again. In fact, this whole episode felt so innocent, something that I hadn't experienced since before I become a Christian. Now Tina is my wife. See, God used Tina. See, God used Tina to restore my innocence. See, God can come and pick up that broken piece of innocence from the place where it was scattered in your life. You can pick up your broken piece of innocence. What about you? Where's that place on your journey where your innocence has been broken? Was your innocence broken in that place where somebody took advantage of you? Was your innocence broken in that place where you were looking for love and you found abuse? Was your innocence broken in that place of addiction like me? Wherever that place was where your innocence was broken, God can restore it. He can come and pick up that broken piece of innocence from the place where it was scattered in your life. The Bible says that he can fix you like new. You can pick up your broken piece of innocence. I'm talking about broken pieces this morning. You can pick up your broken piece of fight. You can pick up your broken piece of innocence. And number three, you can pick up your broken piece of value. In the year 2000 and 2001, I led three teams to Ibiza, reaching club culture. If you'd have been on our Ibiza team, you'd have met David Blair. David Blair in the 80s and 90s was part of a criminal organization in Manchester called the Quality Street Gang. Some of you will know of that name. In fact, they were massive, serious faces in those days. Just by looking at Dave now, though, you can tell that he's an ex-old school villain. Do you know the kind, you know, with the sideburns and the tie and the crombie? Do you know the kind? Anybody ever watched Minder? The villains that were on there. That's like David Blair used to be. During his criminal days, David was full of bravado. But the reality was, his value was broken. He didn't value himself. The only value that he got was on the money that he made from the crimes that he committed. David was living in Carlisle. He was still part of the Quality Street Gang. And one day there was a knock on his front door. David opened this door, and there was this guy. Hiya, my name's Mike. I'm just knocking on some doors. I'm a Christian. And before he could finish the word Christian, David slammed the door in his face. I don't want to speak to a Christian. The next day, there was another knock on his door. Hiya, my name's Mike. And he slammed the door in his face. The day after that, he was in town with his wife. And who should he see? The Christian called Mike. So he beelined in the other direction. He thought, I can't get away from this guy. The following day, there was a knock on his front door. Hiya, my name's Mike. So David told him to go away politely. Slammed the door in his face. I can't get away from this Christian guy called Mike. He's going to come back. I need to do something to make sure he never comes back again. So David's plan was to put pictures of naked ladies all over his wall in his living room. And he did. He put them all over his walls. The following day, there was a knock on his door. David opened it. Hiya, my name's... Yeah, you've told me your name. My name's David. Would you like to come in? Would you like a brew? He said, yeah, I'd love a brew, Mike. I've been on my feet all day. Okay, so he led him through his little hallway into the living room. He sat him in a chair, and David told me that he looked for his facial expressions when he saw the pictures of these explicit naked ladies on the wall. And David looked at him, and he said, what do you think of them, eh? With a smile on his face. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they gorgeous? And Mike said, Dave, they are. They're absolutely beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. Then Dave said to him, there you are. You're no different than me. We're all the same. He said, well, that depends, David. Depends how you're looking at those women on the wall. You see, when you're looking at those naked ladies on the wall, you're seeing them through the eyes of lust. But when I'm seeing those naked ladies on the wall, I'm seeing them how God sees them. And the Bible says that God doesn't look to the outward appearance, he looks to the heart. And when God sees those naked ladies, he sees the true value in them. He told me it was like, it was hit around the head with a sledgehammer. He thought, wow, wow. If God values them, then God values me, even though I'm a criminal. That afternoon in his little flat in Carlisle, David became a Christian. And straight away, because he realized God valued him, he instantly got his own value back. That afternoon, David picked up his broken piece of value. What about you? Has your value been broken? Where's your value been broken? Was it broken at school? In a relationship? Was it broken in a job that didn't work out? Wherever that place was where your value was broken, God can help you pick it up again. He can give you your value back. You see, God sees the true value in you. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that the very hairs of your head are numbered, and that you are his most treasured possession. God values you, and he can give you your value back. Don't listen to the feds in your life taunting you, tapping their sticks. Tap, tap, tap your rubbish. Tap, tap, tap your hopeless. Tap, 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 you're a waste of time. God values you. And he can give you your value back. He can come today and he can help you pick up that broken piece of value from the place where it was scattered in your life. You can pick up your broken piece of value. I'm talking about broken pieces today. You can pick up your broken piece of fight. You can pick up your broken piece of innocence. You can pick up your broken piece of value. And number four, you can pick up your broken piece of swagger. Has something happened in your life that has damaged your confidence, your swagger? Has your swagger been broken and left at some place on your journey? Do you know that you can get your swagger back? I know, because my swagger was broken, but now I've got it back. I hated school. The only thing I liked about school was the parties, except for the party where Viv Dean fell over and brought that window into pieces. Didn't learn much at school. Hated school. One thing I did learn at school, though, was the Mancunian swagger. Feet at 10 to 2, shoulders back. Delayed reaction in my step. Walking through Manchester Arndale with my Takini tracksuit on. My dear stalker hat. With my Walkman, listening to Bob Marley and the Wailers. Could you be loved and be loved? Did it, I had the Mancunian swagger. I left school at the age of 16 with no qualifications and started to take recreational drugs, smoking weed, taking amphetamine, using LSD that was popular in those days. Eventually, I started to use heroin brown, and I started to deal drugs to pay for my own addiction. Being a dealer gave me swagger. Money in my pocket, a nice car, nice flat, nice girlfriend, gold on my fingers. Being a dealer gave me swagger. It wasn't long before I was arrested, put into strange ways on the remand wing, G-wing, which was for YPs in those days. Did some time on YOs as we are today, young people, young offenders today. Did some time on remand, came out straight back to the drugs. Wasn't long before I was arrested again. Got put back into jail. I was on that treadmill. I came out from one sentence and I stayed awake for 9 months. You know, people find that hard to believe, but I can say that as a Christian, knowing that God is my witness. 9 months. Taking loads of amphetamine. If you'd have seen me, you'd have thought I looked like Skeletor on acid. Some of you have looked like that yourselves, haven't you? I can tell. Do I look normal? 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 You're joking. Do I look normal? Do I look normal? In it. I ended up in Truro Psychiatric Hospital. The diagnosis was amphetamine psychosis. That was the place where I lost my swagger. My confidence was smashed. My swagger was broken. Flash forward 9 years. My swagger was still broken. By this part of my life, I was so poor, I used to go to KFC to lick other people's fingers. Skint. I'm living in Rochdale. Just before this, I'd lived in the Salvation Army hostel around the corner from here that got knocked down last year, James Street. I spent a year in there. Then I spent a couple of months living in a hostel in Rochdale. I spent a little bit of time in a hostel in Warrington as well. But 9 years after my breakdown, I moved into a flat in Rochdale. For a 10-day period, I met three people. All of them were Christians. One of them was a guy that I met on the bus, who I met twice. I met him again on the Sunday. One of them was my Nigerian psychiatrist, Dr. Samuel Yangi. And one of them was my next door but one neighbor. They were all Christians. And my next door neighbor took me to church. And I came to church that Sunday morning and I was sat there thinking, these guys are all basket cases. They were using language from the front that I wasn't used to. They were waving flags in the air and doing stuff. And I'm like, whoa, what are they trying to do? Direct the planes in or what? If you're a visitor here this morning, you're feeling a bit out of place, I can feel it because I've been sat where you've been sat. I felt really out of place. I didn't understand it. But the guy who was speaking said that we believe in a God who can heal. He said, is there anybody in this room who's got any issues? I thought, does he want someone with issues? I've got plenty of those. He said, if you want to be prayed for, come to the front. And I remember thinking, what have I got to lose? And I went to the front and I stood there. I was the only one stood there. Everybody was watching me. He says, what can I pray for? I'm thinking, how long have you got? I said, well, I've been on heroin now 15 years. I'm on 55 mils of methadone. And I've been hearing voices for 9 years. I suffer from amphetamine psychosis. Will you pray for these three things? He says, okay. And he put his hand on me and I'm thinking, what's he doing? I was like, you know what I mean? Get your hand off me, Ed. Culture clash. Just like, bam, get off. Get off me. Put his hand on me and I'm thinking, what's he got his hand on me, Ed, for? Get your hand off. And he started to pray. And as he started to pray, something happened. I remember shaking. I remember tears running down my cheeks. I remember having a feeling like there was fire inside my body. I'm thinking, wow, get your hand off my head. Wow. And then he said, amen. I'm thinking, does that mean he's finished? Because I didn't know. And I opened my eyes and his hand had gone. And he'd sat down. And I remember walking back to my seat and something had changed. I had an encounter with God that changed the whole course of my life. That was 19 years ago, and I stand before you today, still changed. You can't tell me that God isn't real. You can't tell me that God isn't alive. You can't tell me that God isn't in the business of transformation. 19 years later. I remember walking home to my flat, closing the door behind me, standing in the hallway and listening. The voices that I'd heard for all those years, 9 years, had gone. And I haven't heard voices since. Until I got married to Tina 12 years ago. Now they've come back. That was the day in that little church when I got my swagger back. Because now my swagger is from God. The Bible says, such confidence is ours through Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? God with skin on. He came into the world 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, and he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross to take the rap for all your faults, for all your flaws, and for all your failures. And when you give him permission, when you give him access into your life, he comes in, and you get a swagger from God. You get a confidence that comes from God. You can pick up your broken piece of swagger. Look at me. I used to have the Mancunian swagger. Now I've got the liberation swagger. I used to have the dealer swagger. Now I've got Jesus, the healer swagger. I used to have the criminal swagger. Now I've got the creator swagger. You see, I've picked up my broken piece of swagger. Has your swagger been broken? Has your swagger been broken or left at some place on your journey? Do you know? You can get your swagger back. God can come and pick up that broken piece of swagger from the place but it was scattered in your life. Broken pieces. I'm going to finish by taking you back to that party. We all like a good party, don't we? The music was playing. The girls were dancing around their handbags. The lads were smoking part dry, trying to look hard. Some were drinking cider. The rich ones were drinking pomade. Then the incident occurred. You was a rich one. There was a massive smash. What's that? I ran through that kitchen door into that wooden outhouse and Vivdeen had fallen over and put her hand through a big window. The glass had broken into pieces. There was a broken piece over here. There was a broken piece over there. There was a broken piece in this place. There was a broken piece in that place. Today we've been on a journey to visit some of those places where your broken pieces have been scattered. Four lessons for you to take away. You can pick up your broken piece of fight. You can pick up your broken piece of innocence. You can pick up your broken piece of value. You can pick up your broken piece of swagger. You can pick up your broken pieces. This is how it works. When you allow God to become your centerpiece, he takes these broken pieces and he creates his masterpiece. Everybody stand. This is how it works. God stands at the door of your life, knocking. Knocking, knocking. Knocking, knocking, knocking. And he waits for you to open the door and for you to invite him in. God will never try and burgle his way into your life. If God was a burglar, he'd wait for it to go dark and he'd try and kick in the back door. If he couldn't kick in the back door, he'd try and kick in the side door. If he couldn't kick in the doors, he'd try and jam you in through the downstairs windows. That's if God was a burglar, but God is not a burglar. He'll never try and burgle his way in. He'll only ever come into your life if you give him permission. Usually the legal entry to a house outside of this room, outside of this venue, your house, usually it's the front door. The legal entry to a life, the front door to a life is your will. And he stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he knocks and he knocks and he waits for you to open the door. And when you open the door and you invite him in, things start to change. He comes and restores everything that you have lost. He comes and picks up those broken pieces from the places where they were scattered in your life. But it starts when you give him permission to come in. Right now, I'm going to pray a prayer, and there's two groups of people going to pray this prayer. The first group of people are those people who have never given God permission to come into his life. come into your life. You've never given God permission to come into your life. Right now, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. He's knocking. It could be that you feel a little bit like Dave, like God's on your case. Wherever you go, he seems to be there, but you've still kept the door closed. Well, today you can open the door and you can invite God in. It could be that you've been coming to this church for a while. It could be that you're in one of the homes and you're trying to work it all out and you're thinking these guys are off the faces. Listen, God wants to come into your life and you'll realize where they look like they're off the faces. Because something happens, he turns the light on and things become real, and that's why we start to do what we do, because we have an encounter with the living God and he changes us and we don't mind telling people. But it starts when you give him permission to come into your life. You're going to keep the door shut like Dave did. Several times he slammed the door. He slammed the door. He slammed the door. I bet you've been slamming your door. Sometimes some of you. Listen, he's knocking on the door of your life and he wants to come in. The other group of people are those people who may have prayed a prayer. You've given your life to God in the past. You've received Jesus into your life. But right now at this moment, you're not cutting it. Listen, I'm not here to give you an hard time. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not about that. All I'm here to say to you is pray this prayer and get back on track. And God will forgive and forget and you can get on with the rest of your journey. Are you ready to pick up your broken pieces? Two groups of people are going to pray this prayer. The first group, you've never prayed any kind of prayer before. And I want to say to some of you men, park your pride outside. Because your pride can stop you connecting with the living God. He'll keep knocking, but your pride can get in the way. I'm going to pray this prayer. Two groups of people. The first group, you've never prayed any kind of prayer before. You may have prayed a crisis prayer. God, forgive me. Or you may have said, God, give me bail, and he never give you bail. But you've never given God permission to come into your life. Well, you can do it here. The second group, those people who have prayed some kind of prayer in the past. You've given your life to God, but you're not really living how he wants you to live right now. You're going to pray to get back on track. Everybody else, you make up the third group. You're going to pray to encourage the first group and the second group. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this prayer together. Park your pride outside. This is between you and God. Are we ready? All three groups, repeat after me. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. Forgive me for my faults, for my flaws, and for my failures. Wipe my slate clean. Today, I've heard you knocking and I'm opening my door. I'm inviting you in to sit in my driving seat, to take hold of my steering wheel, and to help me pick up the broken pieces that have been scattered in my life. If you're part of the first group or the second group, I want you to raise your hands as quickly as you can if you've prayed that prayer. Keep your hands raised so I can see them. Keep your hands raised. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Put your hands down. There might be a few more who's prayed that prayer, but you've not put up your hand. Keep your pride parts outside. God's knocking on the door. He's on your case, big time. He wants to come in. I'm going to count. If you've raised your hand already, 21 people, keep your hands down. But if you haven't raised your hand, I'm going to count down 10 seconds to give you an extra 10 seconds just to raise your hand. It doesn't matter whether you're 9, 19 or 99 here today. If you're old enough and you can understand what I'm saying, you're old enough to get God into your life. Are we ready? Anybody else prayed that prayer as I count down? 10. Raise your hand so I can see it. Got another one here. Another one there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Another 4. Anybody else? 5. Anybody else? As I count down, 8. 7. Anybody else? 6. 5. Anybody else? Raise your hand so I can see it. 4. Anybody else? 3. 2. 1. We've got 26 people. Raise their hands. I'm going to count to 3. On the point of 3, I want you to leave your seats and walk to the back corner over there. We've brought some stuff with us as a charity. We've produced a DVD called What's Next. We want to give you one of those. The church wants to chat with you for a few minutes and give you some of their materials. Why do we give that DVD out? Why do we get people to leave the seats? Because that prayer is the beginning of a journey, or it's a recommitment, and you need to know what to do next. The DVD explains that. And people often say to me, Barry, how did you get from where you was to where you are now? 19 years ago, you had the experience. How did you get to where you are now? Well, I explain that on the DVD. I'm going to give you one of those, and someone's going to chat with you from the church already. 26 people, you're going to leave your seats. As I count to 3, you're going to walk to that corner where those seats are. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You go now as quickly as you can. You go now. Yes, give them a round of applause. You go now as quickly as you can. Keep going out. Yes. Keep going out to that corner over there. Yes, thank you. Keep going out. Thank you. Keep going out to that corner over there. Thank you. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. And off the back of what Vicky said before and what's been going on over here for the last couple of days, I've kind of kept an eye on it on Facebook, and I chatted with Vicky early on about what had been going on. I got like a small taste, like you did, broken pieces. I know there's people in this room who've got broken pieces. It could be that your fight's been broken for whatever reason. It could be that your innocence has been broken. It could be that you don't feel valued this morning. It could be that your confidence, your swagger has been broken. Listen, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. And we're going to pray, because whatever's been going on over here for the last couple of days, we don't want it to stop. We want God to fix you. We want God to restore your life. So if you want to respond to any of those four things about, or any other kind of brokenness that's going on in your life, you can respond, and we're going to come and pray. The team are going to come and pray, and you've got guys who are going to come and pray from the church. We're going to pray that God will help you pick up those broken pieces in your life. And we're going to believe that you're going to walk out of here different, because God is a miracle working God. He can do things that doctors can't do. He can do things that doctors can't do. He can help you pick up those broken pieces from the places where they were scattered. So if you want to be prayed for, and the guys in that corner, you get sorted over there. You can come back down once you've been chatted to. But if you want to be prayed for, you need to come to the front as quickly as you can, so that God can pick up those broken pieces from the places where they were scattered in your life. You come now. You come now. You